Good afternoon, this is Ketchel Kirkham with Looking Up. A few minutes in the middle of the week to think about astronomical things. Why do we send things up into space? You hear about it all the time, especially people's ashes and other memorabilia, hitching a lift on the International Space Station or being put into a satellite. Isn't it rather odd? This article is taken from theconversation.com, written by Tony Milligan from the University of Sheffield, and he puts it better than I can, so here is what he writes. Beyond the race for scientific, commercial and military purposes, there is another space race of a more curious sort. A race to be the first to send objects up there. But why? In December 2024, Buddhist monks from Japan attempted unsuccessfully to send a small temple on board a satellite into orbit. The rocket did make it more than 110 kilometres from Earth, making it the first time the Dainichi Nyorai, which is the Buddha of the cosmos, and the mandala were transported into outer space. The monks hope to try again in the future. The space temple is only about the size of a medium Amazon delivery box and covered in protective gold-tinted foil. Buddha sits in a special compartment on top, and the idea is that with a growing number of Japanese people living outside of Japan, prayers for the departed loved ones could be beamed up to the Buddha as he passes overhead. Being the first matters. Humans appear to have an innate preference for being first, even more likely to pick the first options in a list. It is tempting to explain this by appealing to what the Austrian medical doctor Alfred Adler called the inferiority complex, a need to keep proving ourselves. Yet it may simply be an evolutionary trait of a sort which was genuinely useful in the past but has spilled over into more curious modern preferences, such as expecting more of a firstborn child or voting for the first candidate on the list. What's more, through what the biologist Ernst Mayr called the founder effect, first movers exercise a disproportionate influence on what happens later on. Mayr's original idea was about population genetics, and how founders of a population of organisms can restrict later diversity. But the idea has since been applied more broadly to explain why those who arrive or act first tend to have a disproportionate influence on later agents. Seen in that light, it makes perfect sense that people want to be the first to send something into space, but the choice of objects sent is not always so obvious. Or rather, there is a sliding scale that runs from the understandable to downright odd. At the understandable end of the scale, we have the remains of humans, pets, and even dinosaurs. Not large pieces, just bits of hair or ashes. A company called Celestis has been sending ashes and DNA into space since 1994. In 1997, it sent the fragmentary cremated remains of 24 people, including Star Trek creator Gene Roddenberry, on what was called the Founder's Flight. It was the first memorial flight into space. 5 years later, the remains unintentionally deorbited. Even with this accidental burn-up, relatives may feel that their loved ones have achieved an immortality of sorts. After all, they were the first. Something similar applies to pets. A failed launch in January 2024 included more of Gene Roddenberry and partial remains of a dog called Indica Noodle Fabiano. Memorialising the dead in space is particularly popular. Even the Apollo 15 mission left a fallen astronaut's memorial plaque at the Hadley Rille on the moon in 1971. And what's the point of having religious messages in space when there's no one there to read them? This reveals yet another intention. We hope that eventually a message will travel far enough to reach another life form. Similarly, there is little obvious sense in the transmission of, wait for it, poetica vaginal, a weak signal of converted vaginal contractions transmitted in the direction of the Eridanus constellation by the Massachusetts Institute of Technology in 1986. The US Air Force, which was in control of the ground facility, quickly intervened before a stronger transmission could be sent. And it is frankly odd that an invitation to a performance of Klingon opera was sent to Arcturus in the Boötes constellation in 2010, with the invitation written in Klingon, which is a fictional language from Star Trek, rather than a representative message from our culture. And this came close to cosmic misinformation. And in the best-known case of strange objects sent into space, we have Elon Musk's cherry red Tesla Roadster sports car in 2018. These things may reveal yet another reason for why we send stuff into space that is less about immortality, nostalgia, communicating with aliens, or being first. Objects which appear pointless in their own right are still a statement of intent. It's like someone putting a towel on a deck chair that you are not ready to use but will return to later. We haven't quite figured out what we're going to do with all of this space and how we will eventually fill it with our humanity. The curious objects that we send up can also be seen as a statement of intent to use the locations where they end up, even if the use remains unspecified for now. This is Ketchel Kirkham wishing us clear skies.